that is issuing these moral commands. We might say, well, one atheist response is the individual. Each person decides for themselves. Well, if that is true, if the ultimate standard for moral values is the individual person, then one person can't condemn the actions of another person, which would mean that we would not be able to call the actions of an Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin wrong and evil. So others would say, well, maybe it's the society that gets together, a group of people, and they decide their moral values. If the society is the ultimate standard of moral values, then one society can't call the actions of another society wrong. Hence, America and the Allies could not condemn the actions of Nazi Germany. So others argue maybe a world consensus is what determines what is right and what is wrong. Maybe that's the highest court of appeal for moral values. Problem with that is the world consensus has been wrong in the past. I mean, at one time, the world consensus was slavery is okay. The woman is the property of the male, and the world is flat. Now, with a track record like that, I don't think that world consensus is the way to go. But by the way, a lot of people think that world consensus through the UN is going to solve all our problems. But the Bible teaches the Prince of Peace will bring peace to earth, not the United Nations and the wisdom of man. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of people that try, most atheists try to, promote some type of relativistic view, something like, well, we would all kill ourselves off if we don't agree. Well, that's implying that it is a good thing that the human race survive. So basically what I'm getting at is people can talk a good talk about moral relativism. They still live, like the God of the Bible does exist. Schaefer pointed that over. Probably the best illustration, they had a fire going. He was talking to some students at some school, I think in Great Britain, and he basically cornered this student to the point. It was actually a secular university there that he was talking to students. He cornered this Hindu student to where the Hindu student had to admit that since ultimate reality, their view of God is an impersonal force, that the ultimate God is beyond good and evil. And so in the end, there really is no distinction between cruelty and non-cruelty, and then that's basically where relativism takes you. Well, as he was saying that, Schaefer cornered him, so the guy was consistent with his Hinduistic worldview. As he was saying that, one of the students realized what the guy was saying, and the water began to boil for tea. So the student took the boiling water, pulled up a chair, stood on the chair, and held it over the head of the Hindu student. And the Hindu student looked up and said, "What in the world are you doing?" The student told him, he said, "There's no difference. Ultimately, there's no difference between cruelty and non-cruelty." And then Schaefer, with the literary brilliance that he had, said the Hindu student put his head down and walked off into the night. You know, rather than admit his worldview, there's no basis to call something absolutely wrong or absolutely right. So yeah, there are moral relativists. What I would argue is they sure act like moral absolutists when they're wrong. I had a graduate of Penn State that used to work at a security law enforcement agency that I worked with at one time, and he got his degree in criminal justice. You know, criminal crime is wrong, justice is that which is right, yet the philosophy professors there convinced him there's no such thing as right and wrong in the absolute sense. And so I was supposed to check a bunch of buildings, and then half the buildings, and he was supposed to check the other half. Well, what I did, I checked my half of the buildings, but I took another checklist, and I wrote my name on it, and I pretended that I didn't check anything. Well, this guy, when I turned the vehicle over to him, and he was supposed to go check his half of the buildings, he looked and thought I didn't do any of them. He blew up. You know, it was like, and I said, "What's the matter? You feel like you've been wronged." And so basically what I'm getting at, you can be a moral relativist and when you give a lecture, but you don't live like that, Oh, yeah, he can, but what he's doing is he's doing the exact thing he condemns me for. He's trying to force his personal belief on me. And what I'm saying is, it's not a personal belief, bud. There's such a thing as right and wrong, and that standard is above you and it's above me. And so if what's right for you is right for you, doesn't have to be right for me, and vice versa. What if your name is, Mike Tyson, And he gets you alone, and he thinks it's going to give him a thrill to pummel the daylights out of you. You know, I sure hope that Mike Tyson's not a moral relativist if he and I are alone. You know, so needless to say, I like the shape of my ears right now. I don't want them. You know, I'm not a Trekkie. I don't get into, but whatever. It's fine. If there's any Trekkies out there, I apologize because I know what you guys are going through. Because Kurt, right back there, is he's been a Vulcan since birth. So, okay. Any other questions? Are you stretching or? Okay. Yeah, what he's basically saying is there are no absolute moral values. What? Oh, okay, yeah, the question is that she's taking political science, and John Stuart Mill, one of his objections is that it's a right to do whatever you please so long as you don't infringe on others' rights or hurt others, and therefore it's wrong to be a moral absolutist, but the fact of the matter is that's a moral absolute. Where does he come off thinking that it is absolutely and universally true that it is okay to do whatever you want so long as you don't infringe on somebody else's? I mean, that's, he's saying, you know, instead of saying thou shalt not kill or thou shalt this, he's saying thou shalt this. It's like I had a pro-abortionist once who was also an atheist arguing with me, and he said it's wrong to call abortion wrong because there's no such thing as right and wrong, therefore you shouldn't call abortion wrong. I mean, it's like this guy is saying there are no moral commands that are binding on all people, therefore let me give you this moral command that should be binding on all people. I mean, so, and it is what Schaefer was arguing, he got this aspect of his thought from Van Til, although a lot of his thought isn't from Van Til, but basically you can deny the Creator all you want, you still got to live in his universe. Reason being, it's the only universe we got. There is no other place to live. So you can say, yeah, I don't believe in God, and because I don't believe in Him, I don't believe there's any such thing as absolute rights and wrongs, and I don't believe in truth, and I don't believe in this. But you're just uttering those words. You know, it's like, there's no such thing as right and wrong. Therefore, Christians are wrong to try to cram their moral values down our throat. Well, if there's no such thing as right and wrong, it's not wrong for Christians to try to cram their views of right and wrong down our throats. I mean, it's contradiction after contradiction after contradiction. And I mean, if some idiot from New Jersey who happened to get saved can figure this out, okay, then you can't tell me that these brilliant atheists can't figure it out. Basically what I'm saying is this. If your worldview generates contradiction after contradiction after contradiction, and you are one of the wisest people on the earth, then that tells me that you probably have some kind of prejudice or bias against the God of the Bible, so that you are literally willing to throw your brains out the window if need be, rather than to bend the knee before the carpenter from Nazareth. I mean, Bertrand Russell, if you've ever read his books on philosophy and mathematics, he was brilliant. Then you turn around and read Why I'm Not a Christian, and it sounds like the argumentation is on a third grade level. I mean, you're reading things, instead of the brilliant argumentation, it sounds like, you know, na 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 na, that kind of stuff. He's condemning Jesus because Jesus cast demons into swine and the swine died. He said, you know, I'm not going to accept Jesus as Savior because he led to the death of, you know, several innocent pigs. No, you know, Bertrand Russell was smarter than that. He was smarter than that. So, but basically what I'm saying is, ultimately, in the end, when everything is said and done, it's not an intellectual problem. There might be an intellectual smokescreen, but when everything is said and done, it's a moral problem. It's a problem of the heart. It's not that we don't have enough evidence to believe. When everything's said and done, most people don't want to bend the knee before the Lord Jesus. Yeah.
I want to go back to your postmodernism discussion. You indicated that the postmodern denies absolute truth, and so you can't argue on a truth level. So what what ways can you...
No, I'm really not saying you can't argue on a truth level, but that's exactly what Schaefer did. And that, again, is because they have to live in our universe, and truth is a reality in that universe. But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't start out from that point. In other words, I would go to the things that are more... Their focus is not on rational proofs and evidences. Their focus is more on finding meaning, finding hope, their will. Blaise Pascal's wager argument was not a rational argument to prove God's existence. It was an attempt to get man to see that the only rational response to God is to seek Him with all your heart. But Pascal believed that if you seek God with all your heart, guess what? You're going to find Him. And so basically, just more tugging at the heart. We don't throw truth out the window, but if you keep truth in the forefront with a postmodernist, he's going to say, there you are, another modernist, cramming his meta-narrative down my throat. At the same time, you get surrounded by these postmodernists, they sound like a bunch of modernists trying to cram their meta-narrative down. In other words, postmodernism is becoming a meta-narrative without the postmodernist even realizing it. See, and then I'll close with this. We're well into the other lecture time, but I'll close with this. Bertrand Russell was quoted as saying, he liked to slam dogmatism, but he said, the problem is, it's wrong to be dogmatic, to believe that you really know the truth in an area. It's wrong to be dogmatic. At the same time, it's just as bad to be a skeptic, because a skeptic is dogmatic about his skepticism. He is dogmatic that we should suspend judgment rather than dogmatically hold the views. So he's saying the skeptic is as dogmatic as the dogmatic person, the dogmatist. So Bertrand Russell, in all his wisdom, said, therefore, we need to play the middle of the road. My question to Bertrand Russell, if he was alive, would be this. Are you dogmatic about us playing the middle of the road? Because if you're not dogmatic about it, well, then it's neither here nor there. But if you are dogmatic about it, you just prove my point. And my point is this. God created humans to be dogmatic. The question is not, is Phil Fernandez dogmatic? The question is, are those things that Phil Fernandez is dogmatic about, are they true? Do they really give meaning to life? The guy who worships his Corvette may be dogmatic about that worship of that Corvette, but there is no meaning and there is no life there. If you want life, you know, you got to go to the manger. You want life, you got to go to the wooden cross. You got to go to the empty tomb. There's no other place to find life. I don't know if we should take a break or go right into the next lecture. I don't. Take a 5-minute break. Thanks a lot for your attention. Sorry I ran so far over.
Sure. First of all, I'm coming to you out of ignorance, just because I don't know. You talked about the creation.
Okay. Really focused on the game. Didn't hear the score. Really wants to watch it on videotape. Do not tell him what happened. Do not give it away.
Boy, he sounds. I'm the same way about Raider games, man. I have a guy tape it, and I can't stand it when somebody, you know. I turn off my answering machine, you know, because I'll get all Seahawks fans calling. I'll leave a message. Hey, how about your Raiders? They really stunk it up today. And it's like, last thing I want to hear when I'm watching a thing.
You talk in the beginning of Genesis, it talks about God creating the universe. And obviously, as a Christian, I believe that. And created the universe from what? You don't know. It's not significant. God just decided to create.
Actually, the scriptures does basically teach us. See, the Bible teaches that everything that exists was created except the Creator. And the Bible also teaches us that there is a distinction between the Creator and that which was created. So, in other words, God created everything out of nothing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's my point.